to the fourth case this morning, Remit Corporation versus the City of Chicago.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Kevin Carraher. I represent the plaintiffs in this matter, Remit Corporation and United States Fire Insurance Company. When this appeal was filed, there were two issues submitted for the Court's consideration. However, the City, in its response brief, has now conceded that the trial court was obliged to follow existing Illinois precedent. The issue that we're left with is, does an underground water pipe that conveys water from a water main to a fire hydrant constitute firefighting equipment or fixtures for purposes of the Illinois Tort Immunity Act?
The sprinklers in the facility were required by the City of Chicago Code, weren't they?
No, they were not.
They were not.
Not for this facility.
And so it was just whatever Remit decided to choose in terms of the type of sprinkler system.
Remit was not required to, but did have its own fire sprinkler system protecting its facility.
And there was no city standard that Remit was trying to comply with?
No, Your Honor.
And no regulations or anything by the city in terms of the type of sprinkler system? Or
nothing,
that a system was required?
Nothing requiring that.
Okay.
Throughout the facility.
Indiana law gives, or Illinois law gives immunity, as I understand it, to the municipalities for any charge that they didn't suppress or contain a fire. Now, isn't that what this... I mean, I don't know how you can get around it. I mean, Judge Shader seemed to... He didn't even write an opinion in this case.
That's not what this case is about at all, Your Honor. The crucial flaw in the city's argument, and one that Judge Shader did adopt, is that they focus on the nature of the damages. And they said if there is a fire, there must be an immunity under the Fire Protection and Rescue Services, Article 5 of the Tort Immunity Act. The actual conduct that's involved here is shutting off the water supply. And the Illinois Appellate Court has considered this issue before in Independent Trust. There the court said that the underground water supply, even one to a dedicated fire hydrant...
But that's water damage in that case, isn't it?
Doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
It doesn't matter because the Immunity Act doesn't speak in terms of the nature of the damages. It focuses on the activity involved by the municipality. Article 5 says that the immunities are not limited to fire damage. It speaks in terms of any quote-unquote injury. It could be fire damage. It could be water damage. It could be the fire department's breaking down a door to gain access to a facility. It could be them cutting a roof for ventilation purposes. It even could be personal injuries or wrongful death. And if the statute does not speak in terms of the nature of the damages that results from the activity, you have to focus on the activity itself as to whether the immunity applies or not. Statutory immunities are in derogation of the common law, and therefore they must be strictly construed.
Now, when this water was shut off, was it shut off to all types of plumbing things in that area? In other words, toilets and sinks and that kind of thing?
No, it was not.
Is it a dedicated line?
There was a dedicated line to the hydrants. It's the hydrant lead. And there was a separate line to the sprinklers in the Remet building, which was different than the water line to the for the domestic supply in the Remet building. Remet still could flush its toilets. They used water in their industrial processes. They still had that water. And since they still had water service in the building, they had no way of knowing that they were totally unprotected for fire.
Well, they are protected. Are they insurance?
Insurance is not fire protection, Your Honor.
Well, that's how you protect yourself. You get, you insure against something like that happening. You get fire insurance.
REMET did not consider that adequate protection. They chose to have a sprinkler system in their facility.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Plus, in this case, Your Honor, REMET was partially insured for some of its losses. It has other losses in the millions of dollars that were not covered by insurance.
What if when the fire started, they hooked up the hoses and they worked for a couple of minutes and then there was just no water supply? Would there be immunity?
If there was inadequate water
right.
in the system?
They only had 5 minutes worth of water and then for some reason there was no more water.
I believe then there would be immunity for that. But that's a whole different fact situation. This is not a DuVernay-type situation or a Jones-type situation where a city provided some water but it just wasn't sufficient. Here, there were three hydrants on that block of 15th Street. There was also REMET's own sprinkler system. There was an adequate water supply. And yet the city interrupted that water. The city uniquely affected REMET and REMET alone.
Well, I know the fire department had no idea because they thought...
They did not.
They came there and hooked up and there was no water, so they had to go some other place to get water. And
right.
So it wasn't... I don't know why it happened, but it was certainly wasn't done intentionally.
What was the purpose for shutting it off? Was that...
The city was months before the fire ever occurred, and so there's a big chunk of time, a big gap of time between the activity and the resulting damage. The city was demolishing some old houses across the street on the 1600 block. They cut off the water supply so that they could cap the water lines to those homes underground.
And they never reopened.
And they never reopened the lines to REMET and to the hydrants.
I'm having trouble with your... You try to argue that Pierce and Jones are distinguishable from your situation, but those cases held that a municipality is immune from suit when it provides inadequate water for firefighting purposes. So why are you trying to split hairs? You know, inadequate water versus no water. I mean, why shouldn't we go the same way as the court did in Pierce and Jones?
Because this is not a situation like in those cases where the city tried to provide some services, but they just wasn't enough. Here, REMET had adequate protection until the city came in and did something to take that away, to defeat their system.
And what language in the statute do you think makes that kind of distinction? Because the statute seems pretty clear.
Well,
in terms of immunity.
When the city water department cut the water supply to the sprinklers, they are not providing fire protection. The city is on a slippery slope when they argue that when we disconnect the water supply to fire sprinklers, we're actually in some way providing fire protection to a facility. It's just the opposite. They are taking away that fire protection. So if you look at section, if you want, 5-102, they're not suppressing the fire. They are not containing a fire when they cut off the water supply. That's not being undertaken by the fire department. It's by the city water department. And the independent trust court has already said that the underground pipe is not fire protection facilities or equipment. So 5-102 doesn't apply, nor does 5-103A, pursuant to the independent trust decision. I ask you to consider the same situation as independent trust with one additional factor, and that is that there was a building across the street that was on fire, and there wasn't water to put out that fire. Would the Illinois appellate court say, the city is liable for the water damage to the one building, but they're immune for the fire damage to the building across the street?
But didn't independent trust deal with flooding, that is, damage directly caused by the water?
It did. And that's what I'm saying.
And they interpreted an entirely different section than we're dealing with here. I mean, I realize you're arguing that we should apply that by analogy.
this, well, 5-102 and 5-103A are very similar in their wording. In 102, it says failure to provide or maintain fire protection facilities or equipment. In 103A, it says they are immune for the condition of fire protection or equipment facilities. Well, I imagine the condition's not going to be very good if you fail to maintain that equipment and facility. So I think those two sections are actually linked. What the Illinois Appellate Court would say in the situation I gave to you is that exactly what they did say in independent trust, a pipe is a pipe is a pipe, and is irrelevant what the ultimate use of the water is. I see the lights on. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Grunewald?
Grunewald, that's correct. Thank you. May it please the court. Plaintiffs seek damages for the city's failure to suppress the fire by failing to provide sufficient water for the fire that consumed Remit's manufacturing facility. No Illinois court has found that that kind of claim is a basis for liability. And in fact, the Illinois General Assembly has provided a specific immunity in Section 5-102 of the Tort Immunity Act.
Well, the fire department is one that charged with suppressing the fire, and they didn't know anything about it. Nothing came out of their hoses. Right?
It's true that the fire department is one of the aspects of the city's fire protection, along with installing fire hydrants, and along with, as was relevant in this case, providing water for the purpose of fighting fires. And while the fire department may not have had notice of it, there were still efforts that were undertaken at this building to put out the fire. And the Section 5-102 doesn't speak specifically to fire departments. It speaks to the efforts of a local public entity to suppress a fire. The plaintiffs allege here that the fire couldn't be suppressed because the city failed to provide the water necessary to suppress it. And they allege that the city needed to put additional water at two fire hydrants that were nearer to the building and to fire sprinklers. And the plaintiffs think that this case has nothing to do with fire suppression. It has only to do with water service. But, of course, the only reason the water service matters here is because it was being used for firefighting purposes. As counsel has mentioned, there are separate lines provided for firefighting service water. It's not in the record with respect to there being a dedicated line to this building, although plaintiff represents that that's the case. That would only fit with the scheme as put forward by the city. There is the city provides water service to all buildings. It's provided, as Your Honor knows, for a number of things. But one of the things it's provided for is firefighting purposes, and water for firefighting purposes is required to be metered separately, and it's provided for free. And if indeed it was the case that there was a separate line for the fire system, which would make sense here, it only proves our point, which is that the fire suppression at the building could only take place with the city's service of providing water for firefighting. The city did provide, council also refers to the fact that in his view, this is a situation where there was no water, and that's not the case. There was, of course, water provided to the fire at the building. When the city fire department showed up and the fire engines found no water at the two nearest hydrants, they took their hoses to further hydrants. And the plaintiffs attribute the delay in getting the water on the fire, which was eventually put on the fire, to the city. And that failure to suppress is exactly what Section 5-102 covers. Even with regard to the water for the sprinklers, the reason the sprinklers weren't working is because the city didn't provide the firefighting water needed to put out the fire. And the complaint directly attributes the failure to suppress to the city for the failure to supply the water supply needed for firefighting. The plaintiffs rely extensively on the independent trust case, and as Your Honors have noted, that case involved water damage. It didn't involve a fire. It didn't involve fire damage. And what the court was faced with there was when the city raised Section 5-103, which is a separate immunity, And it asserted that that was a case about the condition of firefighting equipment. So what the court and independent trust had to consider was whether or not a leaky pipe, which had caused water damage, was included in the definition of firefighting service. And the court concluded it was not. But that case is entirely different from this case, because what we're dealing with is the city providing water for firefighting, and it was that failure that failed to suppress the fire. The other aspect, main aspect of plaintiff's argument, is that they want to make this case about the condition of the city's pipes and the failure to provide water through them instead of fire suppression. But, of course, you need the one to provide the other. And what they refer to is the duty to keep one's premises in a safe condition. But that duty is to protect people who are on the premises. And that's shown by the two cases they cite in their brief, Illinois cases, the Cat Barrel case and the Hanley case. And in Cat Barrel, the plaintiff was injured while on school district, in a school district gym, because of dangerous equipment inside the gym. And in the Hanley case, the plaintiff was injured while on city property, on a city street, because of a dangerous pothole. There's no allegation here that the plaintiffs were on the city's water, were inside the city's water pipe. And this is simply not a case involving premises liability. I would also like to respond to plaintiffs' representations that their sprinklers are not required to be in the building. Again, that's something that's just not in the record in this case. With respect to any sprinkler system in the city of Chicago, it's not true that once you install a sprinkler system, there would be no requirements, and especially if, as was the case in this case, you connect your sprinkler system, which can't operate without something going through the sprinklers, to the city's water system. And there would obviously be, although it's not in the record, but I'd be happy to provide it if your honors would like to see it, there are ordinances with respect to all sprinkler systems that are in the city of Chicago. So it would not be appropriate for the plaintiffs to represent that their sprinkler system, in being connected to the city's water system, would not be under any requirements in that sense. If your honors have no further questions, we respectfully ask that this court affirm the district court's judgment.
Thank you, Mr. Grimmel. We're out of time, counsel, but I'll give you a minute if you want to make a response.
The city just argued that the fact that there was a dedicated water line from the water main to Remet's fire sprinklers actually supports their position. Well, the Illinois Appellate Court said, no, you're wrong. The Appellate Court and Independent Trust called that argument flawed logic. Now, we have an existing Illinois precedent. Erie v. Tompkins says it must be followed. The nature of the damage is irrelevant, as the Independent Trust Court found. There was, in fact, no water to these sprinklers. There was no water to the hydrants on the block. When he says it's a matter of inadequate water because there was water elsewhere in the city, does not turn this case into an inadequate water supply argument. If there's no water to the sprinklers, then the city is liable. This water system, contrary to what the city would have you believe, was not installed just for fire protection purposes. It was not installed pursuant to the city's police power. There were commercial reasons that was installed as well, as stated by the Illinois Supreme Court in City of Chicago versus Sell Schwab. Water is sold by the city. It is used for bathing. It is used for cleaning. It is used for industrial processes. And so there is no immunity for that. The water inside the water main is fungible. The city has no idea where that any piece of water is going to end up, whether it's going to be for fire protection or for some other purpose.
Thank you,
Your Honors.